Praise the Lord. You know, God is good. I asked Sister Stephanie to sing for me, and then she said she wouldn't sing again because Sister Marge was supposed to sing. But look at the blessing that because Sister Marge was willing to give her that spot, you know, and I know Sister Marge would do just a great job, but we praise God. You know, remember that the church is should be a united church. And so whatever we do, we should do all for the glory of God. And so we want to thank God today, despite the rain that is falling, that there is a safe place, what we call a sanctuary, where we can come and we can worship God in the beauty of holiness, because God is worthy to be praised. As I was reading something, a quote from Sister White, The Great Controversy, she said that some people are sunshine Christians. When the sun is shining, you're happy and you're perky. And when there is bleakiness in your life, you walk with a sad face. But God is worthy to be praised all the time. Whether it is sunny, whether it is rainy, whether it is snowy, whatever is going on, God is worthy to be praised. When I was praying and asking the Lord to give me a topic for today, The Great Controversy, on the back of the page, there is a quotation in red, "A storm is coming." And so I said, that's my title, "A storm is coming." And look outside. Maybe I should say the sun is shining, because then maybe we'd have more people in church today. But in everything, we give God thanks. And the storm that is coming, I'm not talking about this little rain that is falling today. There is a storm on its way. And brothers and sisters, we must be cognizant that unless we have been grounded and founded in Jesus Christ, we will not stand the storm. So let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we are thankful for all that you have done so far. Thank you, God, for blessing us today with this day we have never seen before to worship you. Lord, we are giving up ourselves to you even now. We pray, God, that you may saturate each heart with your Holy Spirit presence. And Father God, because it's all about you, may our attention be drawn to Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the cornerstone, the stone, O God, that is able to keep us from falling. May we, O God, be anchored in him even now. And may all, O God, our thoughts be towards him now. Baptize us anew, O God. I'm unworthy to be here. But God, we thank you that despite who we are, you can still do something wonderful with us. And we pray, God, that even now, somebody today may understand the magnitude of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus Christ was coming to the end of his ministry, and they had just left the temple, and they were on the mountain, on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus was telling his disciples that there are some serious time ahead, and that he's going away and he will come back for them. Their hearts were broken. And they want to make sure that what Jesus was saying was truth. They said, give us something to hold on to. Give us something to hold on to. So when we hold it and when we look at it, we can say, truly, what you say is truth. And Jesus said to them that there will be signs of the time. And those signs will remind you that what I have said to you is being fulfilled. And so this morning, we are going back to that same place. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, that's where I'll be preaching my sermon from this morning. The book of Matthew chapter 24, and we'll start from verse 2. Unfortunately, we don't have the screen here to help you, so you have to use your Bible. And, you know, the good thing is that when you turn those pages, it's different from using your cell phone. Because the good book said it's a holy book, right? And so holy things will come out of this book to you. So turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." If we would go to Jerusalem today, where the temple is, all of those stones are gone. So that right there tells us that what Jesus have to offer is truth. The temple is gone today. And so let's continue. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that he be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and he shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." One of the things that we are seeing that is happening in our world today, it seems like unrighteousness is the norm of the day. And when you stand up for principles, it seems like you're a strange person. Who would have known that our world would have been at this place at this time? When the man of lawlessness seems like he's winning the hearts and the souls of men. And the church, a church that should be echoing that, don't go down that way, seem like we are asleep or we are ashamed. My brothers and sisters, if we does not return to Jesus Christ, if we do not return to the people that God have called us to be, then none of us will stand. We have get caught up also in the world system as the world. And the people of God that we used to be called the people of the world, it seemed like now we are the people of entertainment. No more warning. You know, I used to look forward to Religious Liberty Week. Well, I don't hear it anymore. Because the devil don't want us to be aware of what is happening. Do you know that right now, as I'm speaking to you right now, that there are nations that are creating robots in all different forms, and they have one mission, to be destructive. I saw something in Russia the other day, and they have these robots. Some of them look like what we read about in Revelation. And they're walking around with all these high power weapons on their backs, and remember that they have no feelings. They have no emotions, but they are programming to destroy you and I. Why am I saying this today? I'm saying this because God had given us a message to warn the world that these days are coming, but also that Jesus Christ is coming. So it's not for us to be troubled hearted. It is for us to prepare ourselves, because we know that after these things, then Jesus will come. But if we are not able to survive these things, then the coming of the Lord will not even make any sense to us. Our world is coming to a climax. And the man of lawlessness is going to present himself as the leader and the owner of this world. As I speak right now, there is a battle going on. And we have two leaders. One that leads under the principle of love and righteousness and equality and justice. And the other leader that rules under selfishness and destructiveness. We must choose who we want to be our leader. Is it Christ or is it the Antichrist? Who will be your leader? Who are we giving allegiance to at this time? Is God's children really preparing and living as if today was our last day? Where is our mind? Is our mind steadfast upon Jesus Christ because he's good, because he had demonstrated that he's worthy to be praised? Are we being drawn away into the entice of entertainment? Do you know that many of the world who doesn't even believe in God expecting something bad to be happening? They are saying that something bad is going to happen. And we know that the word of God declare that Jesus Christ will come and he will come soon. Sooner now than 10 years ago. Sooner now than 20 years ago. We are experiencing the destructiveness of the human mind that bend in every way to do evil. One man who is very influential, he said that the world will come to a place where we communicate through chips. You don't have to speak. So I will know what you're thinking without even you saying anything. Who have that authority? Only God. So you see what is happening, brothers and sisters, the devil is trying to take the place of God. And when we look at these things, we are sometimes ignoring to go back to the scripture and said, Lord Jesus, help me that when this time come, I might be able to stand up and said, I'd rather die than become a guinea pig. I never dreamed that man would reach this place in our history. What a time to live in. And then you understand the sequence, right? When you have war, what happened after war? Famine and diseases. Are we seeing those things now? And everyone wants to blow up somebody. Do you know that? The amount of weapon of mass destruction that is upon this earth. If we should think about them and not on Jesus Christ, you wouldn't even sleep. That's how dangerous it is. But I thank God that we can found a resting place in Jesus Christ. Despite all that is happening, that we can anchor our soul in his hands, knowing that those who build upon the solid rock, we shall never be moved. When I look at some of the plans that these leaders in the world have, nothing to do with goodness. It's out to just destroy each other left and right. And the church that God had blessed with a good news message that there is a better place whose builder and maker is God, where there is no weapon of mass destruction, you know, no disease, no famine, no sword. Yet still we're not showing any interest like we want that. Because you see, as human beings, we like excitement. We like to see the spilling of blood. And the only blood that we should love to know that has been spilled despite the shame is Jesus Christ. Because his blood had done something wonderful for you and I. And every other blood that is spilt, we should be crying and said, God, be merciful. These wicked men, Lord, do not treat them as they deserve, but help them to look at Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross of Calvary so that they can repent and turn from their wicked ways and live. Because the Lord said, I have no pleasure in those that die wickedly. Our world is coming to a close. And brothers and sisters, this is not our home. This is not your home. Especially when we look at artificial intelligence. You know that any of us can be arrested at any time? And we don't even guilty of what we've been arrested for? They can take you and put you somewhere else on a crime scene that you don't even know what's going on. That's how dangerous these things are. And yet still, a lot of us are exposed to these things. Somebody sent me an email the other day and he said, Ray, did you send me an email? Somebody hacked into my email and they're looking for money from this guy. And I'm saying, wow, it's that dangerous. You know, some of us, we have our bank account. Be careful where we're banking. Because one moment you could go there and there's nothing left there. We see it happening. Just in Jamaica last year or the year before, this famous guy, he had over $14 million disappear. They just take it away. That's how dangerous our world is. But I don't want us to get caught up in the danger of the world. What I'm calling here to do today is to say, brothers and sisters, let us come back to Jesus Christ. Let us anchor in him. Let us dig deep and lay our foundation upon the solid rock, which no wind is able to destroy. The songwriter said, on Jesus, the solid rock, we build. Let us not build on the sand, because the sand of this life is coming to naught. But those who anchor deep in Jesus Christ will have a great future. My brothers and sisters, this is the time for us to come back. Wherever the word of God been presented, we should make it a sure privilege to be there in Sabbath school. Why aren't we using the time wisely in Sabbath school? Why aren't we coming to Sabbath school? Why aren't we coming to prayer meeting? Brothers and sisters, listen to what I'm saying today. The world is coming to an end, and we must anchor in Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the things that we are seeing in the world will come to pass. But the end is not yet. But the only way we will see the end if we survive the things that are coming. There is a storm on its way, like we have never seen before. You know, we heard of earthquakes and the destructiveness of the earthquake, but it's like an accident. You ever been in traffic and you anxious to get through the traffic? You get to the place where the traffic build up, and when you get there was an accident and the car or whatever it is torn apart and people died. But as soon as we pass that, what we do? We speed down the road because we learn nothing from the accident. This is what is happening in our world, because we are in a haste to get to our destination. And we don't stop to say, wow, what if that was me? We just ignore it and we just blast down the road. Brothers and sisters, our world is blasting into destruction. And Jesus Christ is saying, wait a minute. Stop for a minute and examine yourself where you have been. Who is in control of your life? And if Jesus Christ is in control of our life, we have nothing to fear for the future. These are trying times. These are sad times. But I want to tell you today that there are some good times coming. And it's not a TV show. The good times is Jesus Christ. Amen. Is about to make his appearance and to take us to a place where we will never have to worry about the evil one anymore. Our world is so broken. Our world is so confused. But we know that there is a man who had started this. And it said, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. The good man had laid his foundation. He had established his kingdom. And he had put his subjects to live in peace until the intruder came. And when he came, he bring deception and lie to our foreparents, and they acknowledge and accept it. The same deceiver is here today. And he's telling you that you don't have to worry about anything. We got your back, right? We got your back, and we'll take care of you. But what does he have to offer you and I? Nothing that is good. Pain and suffering, loneliness, sadness. You know, when we think about the week of that we have just done, gone the other day, right? And we realize that mental illness is a destructive thing. But there are two forms of mental illness. There's one that is physical and the other one that is spiritual. Medication cannot fix the spiritual mental illness that we have. Only Jesus Christ's blood can heal that. And so, you know, you might put a bandage upon what is going on, but brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the battle is over your mind. And whosoever the Son set free shall be free indeed. Now, while we are here, and when we stand up for what is truth and what is right, don't think that everything gonna go well, because the enemy wants to shut you up. Just like how he might be saying right now, why is he telling the people this? Why don't he just keep quiet? I don't want them to know. But I want to tell you that Jesus said that those who stand up for him will suffer persecution. You understand what I'm saying? The children of God who stand up for righteousness will suffer persecution. And some of the persecution will come from within your own home, in the church, at your workplace, because you are not compromising your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ. You will be tried. But the Lord said that those who overcome these trials will be saved. Are we ashamed of the gospel, brothers and sisters? The gospel is our ticket out of here. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we spending time in the gospel? Are we renewing our mind so that we can be transformed? So while we are in the world, we are not of the world. You see, that's what we need to do. If we get so caught up in the world, then who is going to be a witness? Our witness will be clouded. And so no one will even know who we are. Are we willing to die for Christ as he died for us? Are we there yet? The apostle did. And guess what happened? The gospel is still here. Because you see, no man can kill the gospel. They may kill me physically. But Jesus said, don't worry about who can kill the body, but worry about who can destroy both body and soul. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us as a church, as a people, to let people know that Jesus Christ is the anchor for the future. And we watch so many hours of television and each program, you know, all we see is tit for tat. You know, I don't know if you see what is happening with our government. And not only this government, but all the government around the world. Leaders are resigning because, you know, they have been oppressed and you know, disagreement. That's where our world is. But the government of God is still intact. oneness, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, working together in unity for the betterment of his people. And that unity will never be destroyed, that oneness. But you see, all that man have to offer us is that if you're good to me, I will be good to you. And anytime you messed up, if I ask you 99 times to do me a favor and you don't do the 100, you are the worst person. But think about God. He said that if your sins be like scarlet, he is able to make you whiter than snow. Brothers and sisters, let's come back to God. Let's come back to the place where we can set our anchor hold. I will build upon the rock, the solid rock. Let us come back to God. Because all that we have out there is coming to naught. And the only thing that's going to last is how much time we spend with God so that he can transform and renew our mind. I'm calling you today, brothers and sisters. When I look at the condition of our church, and when I say church, I'm not just talking about 250 Brooklyn Avenue. I'm talking about globally. We have lost the sense of our mission. We are called to preach the gospel, calling people out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called to be a witness to the world that the world is falling. In Revelation, it talks about Babylon is falling. And Babylon is a place of confusion. I never dreamed that man would be trying to ingrain into the hearts of our young children to be confused. What is going on? And then in our homes, we have no time to tell them that's a lie. These are trying times, but it is dangerous time too. Because if they get the mind of our children from an early age, then you can do nothing to change it. That's why the Bible says we should change up a child in the way they should grow from early. So that when they get old, the deception and the lie, they will understand that. Wait a minute. I hear Sister Marge talk about when she been exposed to Adventism, the difference it make from the other religion. You see, the truth will set you free. So if our children mind is anchored in Jesus Christ from an early age, nothing will be able to destroy them. Even if they walk away trying to see what is going on out there, they will be like the prodigal son who looked and said, this life is not the right life. I must find my place at my father's house. Brothers and sisters, we must come back to Jesus Christ. We must come back before it's too late. And when I talk about coming back, I'm not talking about just being physical. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional. Every part of our being must come back to Jesus Christ. In the Sabbath school lesson, it said that holiness is a mandatory thing to enter into the kingdom of God. Cannot get to the heaven with a corrupted mind. The mind must be renewed and be anchored in Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ. The storm is on its way. Some people call it a shaking. But you see, when the storm blows, if we are not anchored in Jesus Christ, then we'll be shaken. And we'll be lost. But none of us can say that we have been lost because the organization of the church did not prepare the things for us to be anchored. The church have done everything for us. We have Sabbath school. We have our Bibles. Sister Marge said she didn't have a Bible. It was what was read from the pulpit she would have to try and interpret. Today we have our own Bibles. As a matter of fact, the amount of versions of Bibles we have Sometimes you can become confused. Choose one that you like and just study it. Because if you study the word of God, you can only become change. The famines are there. They said in Europe the other day, the leaders come together and they are figuring out how are they going to feed the world population. Because the rain is drying up. A lot of the seed does not reproduce. Did you know that? GMO seeds does not reproduce. Right? The price of food is increasing. The price of housing, they say, went up 50%. You understand what is happening? And even in this country that we think we have a lot, when you go to the supermarket, you realize that, man, can things just change overnight like that? Well, you see, we don't worry because we have our credit card and we have cash. But what happened when you go and they say deny? How are you going to leave that place? Knowing that you have to put back maybe most of the stuff that you have. The wind is about to blow, and it's going to blow hard in this country. Because you know why? This country was founded upon the principles of God's word. And we have disannulled God's word. We have amended everything to practice and righteousness. And everything that is godly, we put it behind. And unrighteousness is what is taking this in the place of God. We must come back to the word of God. Because when the word of God is read, it brings changes to the heart. And then we will be learning how to love our brothers and sisters. Only the word of God can help you to understand what it means to treat somebody kindly when they are not kind to you. And that's from a transforming heart. And so the Europeans are wondering, how are we going to feed these people? And look at our sister country right there near us in Haiti. How many of us even stop to pray for what is happening in Haiti? It's just another war, right? You know that war is all within. Within. There's no outsiders. Whatever is going on is right there. Right? And then you hear about what happened in Ukraine, right? And as a result of what is happening over there, the whole world is affected. Because they said they are a great population. They did a lot of farming over there. And because of all of this, everybody's suffering. But this is just the beginning of sorrow. And what about the earthquakes? Can we trust the word of God? What about the earthquakes? All over. And they're still looking for a big one. And you know, they say that one of the big ones going to be happening in America here, right? Brothers and sisters, if we are anchored in Jesus Christ, none of this will bring fear to our hearts, because Jesus Christ is the master of the wind. And even in a time of famine, Jesus Christ is able to feed us. Do we believe that? We learn about the lady that is Elijah went to. And she had her last meal, but guess what? It lasts for 3 years. Just think about that. We are still in good standing if we are anchored in Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to drive fear into you. What I'm here to do is to remind us that the only thing that will last is our relationship with Jesus Christ. The disciples knew that something was going to happen. And they are asking, Lord, all that you are telling us, give us a little way mark. Let us know what to look for so that we can be reminded to keep our faith, right? And so today, the word of God is still here telling us that when you see these things, look up. Look up to who? To your leaders? No, look up to Jesus Christ.
For he is the author and finisher of your faith. Look up to him, because in him there is hope. Every man that come here and try to tell us things, they have their own interests. Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life for us so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Every other man come, they have some underlying thing. What can I accomplish out of this? But Jesus Christ emptied himself and came to give us life. Brothers and sisters, I believe that it is worthwhile for us to spend time with him who first loved us. We must come back. Come back to the word. Come back to the word. Feed of him. Because when we feed of him, we shall be nourished. Feed from the word of God. Leave the entertainment. Leave the television alone. Because you know that a lot of the people that are suffering from depression is by watching too much television. They never talk about that. Because there's no good news on the television. Every time you look at the television, there's something destructive happening. Let's go back to the word of God, brothers and sisters. Wean ourselves from the entertainment, the spoon-fed. And so many of us, we like to watch these sermons, which is not bad. But it's more better for us to congregate together, where you can look at your brother's faces and give them a hug and say that God be with you today, than to be entertained by a machine. Where we can't even, when the sermon is done, you can't even shake somebody and say, what a nice sermon. Don't you see where loneliness come in? You have a high for a second, and then you go into depression. Break yourself from these entertainment and let us come back to what God had promised us, that in his sanctuary, there is fullness of joy. There is peace forevermore when we congregate in the presence of God. We must come back. And those of you that are at home, that are hearing my voice today, I'm encouraging you to find yourself with other-minded people. Machine cannot communicate with you. Come back to God. Come back where we can shake each other's hand and give a hug and said, I want to pray for you today. Is it okay if I pray for you? Don't let the enemy trap you and make you become depressed and lonely. God's children were made to congregate, to communicate, and we are losing that. And they even want to go further, as I said before. They want to put a chip in your mind, in your head, so that you don't have to say anything out of your mouth, but you can communicate. You see what the devil is trying to do? So what about let everything that have breath praise the Lord? My brothers and sisters, these are trying times, but Jesus said that when we see these things, the end is not yet. So what is the end going to look like? I pray today that by God's grace and his mercy, we may use the time that we have wisely. May we seek a friend before we need a friend. Because the deception is going to be so enticing that the word of God said, if it was possible, even the very elect would lose their way. And you think we know much for Satan? He's planning. And he knows that his time is short. So even now, as I speak, he's putting into place the things that he can pronounce upon the human race. And all he have in mind is to destroy us. Come back to God. Brothers and sisters, come back to God. For God is waiting for you. Come back to God.
come back to God. The prodigal son that left home, his father's eyes were always waiting, always looking in the direction that he had left home, hoping and praying that my son, that I love so much, may realize what he's missing out on and return before it's too late. Thank God that the story ends with on a good note, that when he gets to his senses after he had lost everything, all the pleasure is over, he realized that he stands alone. And when depression stepped in, he heard his father's voice saying, "This is my son, who I have loved." And he realized that there was a place at home for him. And as a result of that, despite his ruggedness and his nakedness, he found enough strength to find back his way home. Wondering how would he be received when he got home. But the word of God told us that his father was so excited to see him, he did not even worry about what he looked like or how he smelled. But he was happy that his son has returned. Today, you might be here. You have wandered far away from the presence of your father. Your body might be here, but your mind and your heart is far away. The Lord is saying, "My hands are outstretched still, waiting for you to come home. Because I want to shield you from the storm that is coming. I want to protect you from the wind that will blow." Would you take a stand for Jesus today and pledge in your heart that, "Lord, I want to come back to your rightful place"? If there's such a one here today, come and let us pray. Because you see, the sanctuary of God is where righteousness dwells. And when we are in his sanctuary, we are protected. No weapon that form against us shall prosper when we come into the presence of God. Because his rod and his staff will comfort us. I'm asking today, if you want us to pray for you, come. Let us pray. Because the wind is about to blow in a way that we have never seen that wind blow. And only Jesus Christ, who is the master of the wind, is able to say, "Peace be still." If you know that you are not being anchored in Jesus Christ, don't leave this place, because the wind is going to blow. Lord, you're calling us, God, to come back. You're calling us, oh God, to a place of safety. You're calling us, oh God, to find rest in you. Like that boy who, out of haste, had taken his portion of his inheritance and have gone to a foreign land, as we have told. He had met a lot of friends for a time. God, he had been entertained, and he had lived a life that was not pleasing to you. But while he was out there, oh God, your mind was still on him. Your hands were still watching over him. And you bring him to a mind that reflect that at home, it was better than where he was. Today, God, we know that the wind is coming. And maybe even now, Lord, the wind is blowing. The storm is blowing in our lives. But we are sure, God, that if we would anchor
upon the solid rock, if we would build our house upon Jesus Christ, then we will have victory over those storms. Almighty God, we are praying today, Lord, that you may shield us from the weapon of the carnal mind, evilest one. Cover us, O Jesus, under the banner of your blood. And keep us, O God, keep our mind, dear Lord, steadfast upon you. For we know that there is victory in Jesus. We know that there is deliverance in Jesus. We know, O God, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Power to set us free. Powers to give us victory. Power, O God, to give us a future. O Heavenly Father, today I pray in the name of him who said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you away. O Heavenly Father, now we pray that the power of Jesus Christ may come into our hearts. And as a people, God, we may purpose to say, Lord, give me a new heart. Put your spirit within me, O God, so that I may be able to stand wherever I go upon King Emmanuel's side. O Father, I'm praying today for young people, wherever they are, that they may be standing right now upon the principles and precept of your word. I pray, O God, for marriages, that God, we may stand upon the precept and premises of your word. O Heavenly Father, I'm praying even now, God, for your church, that we, O God, may express the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even as I speak, O God, on behalf of your people today, I'm asking you, Jesus, to visit our hearts even now. If there is malice or bitterness in our hearts, O God, anything that will deny us from seeing Jesus Christ as our Lord when he shall come, we ask, O God, that you may give us the will to let it go. For truly, you are coming for a people which are called by your name, who practice holiness. Bless us, O God, I pray today. Remember our children, grandchildren, our homes, O God, our jobs. Wherever we are, help us, O God, that we may find the opportunity to testify that Jesus is worthy to be praised. O God, I want to thank you today that you have left us a way mark, and we have seen the signs of the time that your word is truth. Help us to hold fast. Hold fast, O God, to the hands of Jesus, who shall come and take us home. Beg and pray in his name. Amen.
At this moment, let us stand and sing our closing hymn, hymn 601.
And on the walls of